don't know, Pastor. Every time I get involved in a church, I get hurt. Welcome to the human existence. In fact, let me tell you something. If you're a part of this church, you will get hurt.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome, friends. This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Job, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, it's such a joy to be able to win people to Christ and raise disciples and plant churches. And as we look back over almost 30 years of ministry, we've seen God do some really exciting, incredible things. I love being a pastor on this team. I love the way you lead us with vision and grace and empower leaders and open doors. It's been, for my wife and I, one of the highlights, seriously, highlights of our life to be on this team, to be serving God together. And there's others that wonder if there's room on the team for them, if this is the kind of place that's open to other leaders coming in. Tell us about the vision and tell us about the open doors.
Absolutely, Josh. And it's been great to know you since you were 16 years old or younger. So, yeah, we have a vision to see the city of Chicago saturated with life-giving communities of faith. As we cooperate with other churches, because there are a lot of great churches in Chicago that we're joining forces with. But we do that two ways. One, we plant new churches, and we've done quite a few of planting of new churches, about 12 or 13 new locations that we've planted around Chicago. But we also do restarting of historic churches that are struggling. And God has given us a beautiful opportunity to restart about 12 churches. And these are churches anywhere from Baptist to EV Free to Mennonite to Bible churches that at one time were thriving places, houses of worship, but because of changing demographics or transition in leadership, find themselves really struggling to survive in today's environment. And we have a unique approach in which we actually join those churches. We celebrate their history. We adopt their history. We celebrate their past. And we look at ourselves as being a new chapter to an old history. So we don't close them down. We just restart them. And that's why we use the word restart them to reach this generation. And so if you are interested in, and maybe you're a part of a church that needs a restart, or maybe you're a young leader out there that feel like, hey, you have a call to church planting, we would love to hear from you, because we are launching and starting at least 5 to 6 new congregations every year. And if you want to be a part of it or have a call to church planting, or you're part of a church that needs to be restarted, please get a hold of us. And you can go to our website at newlifechicago.org and check out the ministries page, because we have more information about restarts and church planting on those pages.
That's right. We would love to meet you. We need to partner together to see the greatest impact. And so as you go to newlifechicago.org, click on ministries. As Pastor Mark said, scroll down. If you'd like information on being a church planter, click on that button, New Life Cities. If you'd like information on restart, click on that. And there you'll see a few other opportunities as well. But those are the two we want to highlight today. We would love to meet you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue on in Pastor Mark's series called Supernatural today, and it's an in-depth look at the book of Acts. Jesus is preparing a people to change the world. Our message is entitled People in Community, and we continue on in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark.
When you repent and are baptized, two things happen in your life. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Completely, 100%, everything that's ever happened in your life, all of your past is absolutely washed and cleansed. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And I don't. To be honest, I don't want to know. But here's what I know. That if you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, you repent and believe and been baptized, then your sins are forgiven. You say, well, I have some pretty bad sins there. It doesn't matter. You see, if the blood of Jesus isn't powerful enough to wash the worst of sins, then it's not powerful enough. It doesn't matter where you've been, how long you've been there, what you've done, who you've done it to, how long you did it, how gruesome and bad and awful and contrary to the holiness of God it is. All of your past, 100%, all of your sins are wiped off your slate for good, never to be brought against you by God himself, because the blood of Jesus is powerful to do them. 100%. That should make a lot of us breathe a sigh of relief and say, wow, God's grace is powerful. The other thing that happens is not just that your sins are forgiven, completely forgiven. So, well, Pastor, I still feel guilty for some of the things I did in your past. You may feel bad about what you did in your past, but God no longer holds those sins against you. They're clean, they're washed, they're forgiven. Jesus took them upon himself. It's a powerful concept. God will never judge you for them. Never. They've been cleansed. But once you have been cleansed, not only do you receive cleansing, the gift of forgiveness, but you receive something else as well. And you receive, it says, the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. You see, once your life is clean, at the same time that your life is clean, you also receive the indwelling of the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit. The moment you say yes to God, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's God in you. Your life is clean, and now the gift of the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and God starts living inside of you. He convicts you, he instructs you, he empowers you, he gives you gifts, he guides you, he illuminates the word of God to you. He leads you into all righteousness. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's with you 24 hours a day. He empowers you to live your Christian life. There is no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer without having the Holy Spirit inside of you. You understand that? Some people say, well, Pastor, I decided to follow Jesus Christ. Or I run into some people, they say, well, you're a believer. Yeah, but have you received the Holy Spirit? You see, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a believer without the Holy Spirit. Now, you may need the power of the Spirit. And you need to be filled with the Spirit. But you have the Holy Spirit. So now, at the moment of your salvation, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. He convicts you. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. Because here's the thing. No one has to give you a book of rules of do's and don'ts. Automatically, you start knowing things are wrong when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Have you ever noticed that? Suddenly, someone comes to Christ. The Holy Spirit's inside of them. And they come and say, well, I feel bad about doing this. Well, did someone tell you it was wrong? No. Then how do you know? I don't know. I just know inside it's wrong. Why? The Holy Spirit. It's powerful. Wherever you go, the power of the Spirit is inside of you. God, the third person of God, living in you, changing you, renewing you, transforming you from the inside out. And then it goes on to say, listen, you receive, and you say, well, that's just for those guys way back then 2,000 years ago. Look what it says in verse 39. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This promise is not just for people that existed during the days of Acts. This promise is for you and I today. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's our promise as well. Now, what happens? How do you grow? If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit and you're forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. I have the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to mature in my life. How do I do that? Well, it tells us what they began to do. Look what it says in verse 42. It tells us in verse 41 that 3,000 were baptized and more were added to their number that day. And so they began to do four things. We've talked about these four things before, but I'm going to remind you of what these four things are. These are four things that these people began to do on a regular basis to grow. And I want you to understand this. You grow the most when you are a part of a body and when you're plugged in, the Holy Spirit's inside of you and you repented and you believe, that's how you start to grow in God. And it says, and they devoted themselves. This word devote is the word proskatero in the Greek, and it means to be steadfastly attentive to something, to give unremitting care to something. It means you're focused on it, you're into it, you're giving 100% of your attention to it. And here's what it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Listen, if you're going to grow, once you have the Holy Spirit, once you're forgiven, if you're going to grow, you need to be into doctrine and theology. You need to be into the teaching of the Word of God. You need to know what the Word of God says. I run into people once in a while that say, well, Pastor, I don't know. It's just hard for me to... I'm not a reader. Especially men. I run into men that say, Pastor, I'm just not a reader. I don't know. Maybe it's too much lead paint when I was a little kid. I don't know. It's hard for me to grasp things. When I was in high school, I sniffed glue. I think I lost a few cells, did a little too much, smoked a little too much weed. And I don't know, I just think that it's just hard for me to read. But then I'll get in a conversation with you and I'll start talking to you about the socks and statistics. And you'll say, well, in 1947, so-and-so was on this base and that base. And they ended up the series this to this. And this guy had a batting average of this. And this one's like, whoa, you're like a walking encyclopedia of the socks history. Another guy's, I'll start talking to you about cars, and you'll tell me about the model and the make, and it was discontinued this year, and it has this kind of piece and engine and horsepower, and you'll know all the cars, all the pieces, and then I talk to you about the Word, and you say, well, it's just hard for me to know the Word, Pastor. Here's what I want you to understand. Wherever your heart is, your mind will be there also. And when you're hungry for the Word, when you're hungry for God and the things of God, you will learn about the things of God. You will pay attention to it. You'll throw yourself into it. You'll learn about teaching. You'll take notes. You'll grasp the Word of God because your heart is there. I believe that's true for all of us. But I'm especially intent on men because I believe that sometimes men, we check out in this area and feel like, hey, I can't learn that stuff. I don't know that much about that. I think you need to know this stuff so you can teach your children, so you can lead your family. You need to be learners of the Word. You need to have a well-worn Bible. You need to be able to look up the Bible books. You need to be able to know verses. You need to take notes. You need to grow in your understanding of the things of God. I want spiritually grounded, well-rounded men that understand their Bible. Amen? Okay. So it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and then it says they devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship, the word there is koinonia. Now fellowship, koinonia, has to do with partnership. Has to do with relationship. When you're into something, relating together with other people.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled People in Community, which is from our current series called Supernatural. Please stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts chapter 4. Our message is called People in Community.
Here's the thing I want you to know about fellowship and relationship. There is no such thing as a healthy Christian that's isolated themselves. Christianity was meant to be lived in community with other people. Christianity was not meant to be just you and God, a solo religion, a philosophy of life that you follow, disengaged from other people. Christianity was meant to be lived in community. Unless you understand community and get involved in community, you will not be a healthy Christian. Don't tell me you stay at home and listen to me on the radio. I don't care. That doesn't count. Don't tell me that the church is full of hypocrites and you'd rather stay home and just open up your own Bible and take notes from some televangelist, because that doesn't count. You are called not only to follow Christ, but you are called to be a part of a community of faith. You are called to be a part of a people that's a part of a movement, a Jesus movement, followers of God. You say, well, people, I don't know, Pastor, every time I get involved in a church, I get hurt. Welcome to the human existence. In fact, let me tell you something. If you're a part of this church, you will get hurt. Let me say it another way. Any relationships that are close to you will end up hurting you. One of the closest relationships I have in my life is my wife. I've been married 21 years to my wife. 21 years. Lord, she has a lot of mercy and grace. And I expect to be married to her until she dies or I die. There's a 5-year difference in us. And so she always says, you know, she's a little older than I am. Men always croak a little sooner, so we'll pass at the same time about that. That's her. But here's the thing. I'm close to my wife, so guess what? My wife is going to hurt me. I'm going to hurt her. That's just part of a relationship. When you're close to people, the people that are closest to you will hurt you. If you don't know someone, there's someone on the street that I've never met. He's a stranger. He looks at me weird. He tells me something. It doesn't affect me. Why? He's not close to me. He's just some wacko out on the street. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't bother me. You know why? Because I'm not close to him. But when people are close to you, they're going to hurt you. Listen, I've said this before, but if you haven't been hurt yet at this church, then you're probably not close enough to people yet. The way I know you're really involved here is that someone's hurt you already. Then I say, all right, you're in. If you're just attending on a Sunday morning and you don't know people and you're not involved in people, then no one's going to hurt you. Once you get involved in people and once you know people by their name and once you get involved in people's lives, you're going to love them. They're going to love you. Some people are going to disappoint you. Some people, but that's just part of the body. We get hurt by people that we love. We forgive. We grow. We move on. We deal with issues. That's why Paul talks so much about forgiveness and so much about patience, because that's what it is to be a part of a living body. But here's what I know. If you isolate yourself, you will not grow. You need to get involved in community. Get to know people. Be involved in fellowship. That's what it says. These people around you, they need to be more than people in an auditorium. You need to know 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people by name, be involved in their lives. Now, I don't expect that you'll know all the several thousand people that attend New Life. You won't know them, and you don't have to. But you need to be a part of knowing some people that you know well enough to get involved in their life. You says, well, Pastor, that sounds like it's intrusive. Exactly. You see, the body of Christ is intrusive. That's what it is. I want you to be so integrated into this church that people once in a while say, hey, how's your marriage? Can you believe this guy just asked me how my marriage is? I want people to know you well enough to say, hey, how's your walk with God? Have you been having your devotions lately? Hey. I want you to be so involved in this church that people are going to ask you once in a while, hey, how are you dealing with your kids? Have you been patient or you've been raising your voice at them lately? Like, you know, you were struggling a week ago with that. I want people to know you. And I want you to know people. And I want people to ask you the hard questions. Be able to get involved in their lives. I think the body of Christ needs to be that way. Because if not, we're just an audience of people that doesn't know each other, that listens to a talking head on Sunday morning, and we only grow so far. When we know each other and get involved in each other's lives, we're going to spur each other on to growth. Amen? They were devoted to fellowship. That's why I'm so convinced that if you're not a part of a small group or on Tuesday, one of the small groups that we have, I want to encourage you, find a small group, become a part of a small group so that you can get to know people and get involved in each other's lives. Then it goes on and says, not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to fellowship, they were devoted to breaking of bread. Now, breaking of bread is another way of saying communion. When we celebrate communion, we break bread and we drink of the grape juice together. It's another way of saying worship. They were devoted to worship. When we come together, we worship corporately. Now, I know that some of you worship alone. I worship alone in my car sometimes. I'm driving down the expressway, turn on that radio, and I sing. It's one of the few places they let me sing out loud, really out loud. So I sing. I try not to close my eyes, and I try not to raise my hands. Once in a while, I'll joke with my kids and say, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Don't close your eyes, Dad. But there's, yeah, you need to worship privately, but there's something about corporate worship. There's something about God's presence when we come together like this. There's something unique, something powerful that happens when we come together and say we're in Jesus' name. Have you felt it? Coming together on Sunday morning as we worship, you come in and you say, and there's something there. Sense the presence of God and the Spirit of God. And He speaks to your heart. And there's something about walking into a place where people are corporately worshiping that ministers to your soul and spirit, and you know, hey, God was there this morning. And that's corporate worship. And that's what we're a part of. We come together for corporate worship, and that's something that we're devoted to. And then the fourth thing he says is that not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to fellowship, they were devoted to breaking of bread, but lastly, he says, and they were devoted to prayer. Now, this is something that we also do corporately. Now, you pray alone, and that's important. The Bible talks about going into your own house and praying alone. But there's also something about praying with other believers, gathering in a small group, crying out to God together, believing God for something together as we join our voices together and join our faith together to pray for something, that there's powerful things that begin to happen in the spiritual realm. And as the believers, full of the Spirit, began to do these four practices, these 3,120 believers really began to grow. And it says, listen, and everyone, verse 43, and everyone was filled with a sense of awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and good, and they gave to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When you and I engage in true learning these four practices, then we will begin to see God at work among us, and it'll unleash a generous spirit, and it will begin to unleash the miraculous among us. We will see lives transformed in supernatural, powerful ways. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is in a congregation, when the power of the Spirit of God is hovering over us, and we're growing, desiring to grow and follow God, then supernatural things begin to happen. People start coming to Christ left and right, getting saved left and right. People begin to see what God is doing and are left in awe of what God is doing, because it's not the work of man, it's the supernatural work of God. My prayer is that God will work so strongly among us in this coming season that everybody that's on the outside looking in at the church will have to say, without a shadow of a doubt, God is among those people. Because on their own it could not be done. This is the hand of God and the power of God. And that signs and wonders are done amongst us, and that people are praising God, saying, look at what is happening among those people. That's my prayer. I believe that God wants to raise a movement, a Jesus movement in this city that changes the heart and soul of this city. I believe He wants to do it, but it starts with your life and my life as we say yes to Jesus. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called People in Community. It's from his current series called Supernatural. Join us again on Straight Talk for the next in our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.